Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome in. Last day of April. We're on to May tomorrow, but it's Tuesday, April 30th, 2024. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'd be Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning 99. Connor, what's the word?
What's up, man?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. Hanging in there. Better weather today.
Definitely better weather today.
Feel nice. Although it cleared up yesterday and felt pretty phenomenal.
It did.
Yeah. We're trending in the right direction. But we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. I am going to open the show. Paul Feinbaum spoke in front of the Memphis Touchdown Club. He was their first speaker in the Spring Speaker Series, which, of course, the radio partners right here, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We had Paul on Friday, and a lot of the things he said, he did sort of reiterate last night. But I'll take you through everything he said, what he said about Memphis into a power conference, what he said about the Arkansas-Memphis basketball series. I didn't think he'd be commenting on that, but he did comment on that. He basically said, too, along the way, he was wrong about Ryan Silverfield. Then there's a couple of things in there about Ole Miss that I think were interesting as well. Also, with college athletics, while he was speaking with the Memphis Touchdown Club, there's a couple of cases that have to do with antitrust lawsuits against the NCAA that the NCAA is getting ready to settle. And with those settlements, there is a growing belief that revenue sharing with the players, a different relationship with student athletes, is going to happen sooner rather than later. So we'll talk about that. Very, very interesting stuff from ESPN. I read the Pete Thamel story. I think you did as well. Very, very interesting what could happen here in the coming months. As far as guests are concerned, Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show. And then 6 o'clock, I haven't talked to him in a couple weeks, but Christian Fowler will join from the from Bluff City Media. He's a senior writer and content creator there. And we also released our podcast today. It comes out every single Tuesday at noon, the On the Bluff Pod. Find it on Apple, Spotify, full-length video version on YouTube. After Christian, we'll hop into the Blitz. We'll give you an update on the, what do we call them? The Sacramento A's at this point. Sacramento, soon to be Las
so.
Vegas,
yeah.
Athletics. They have hired an investment firm to try to, you know, drum up money for their stadium. Their stadium at the Tropicana site on the Las Vegas Strip, and how they're trying to get this money through this investment firm. Just it never ceases to amaze how much of a clown A's owner John Fisher is, but I'll explain and walk you through all that. And also another hit piece on Deion Sanders in Colorado that we need to talk through. about a former player named Xavier Smith, who's now at Austin Peay. He was a defensive back who felt like he was treated wrong. It's like, how many different players have spoken up about their treatment from Deion when he first got there? Like, I mean, he had, what, 53 transfers that first spring semester? It's like all 53 have spoken up at this point. That's what it feels like. But I'll talk you through it and why I don't think it's that big of a deal. Now, Connor, I have to bring this up.
Full disclosure, I thought I was going to get away with this.
Hey, listen, I've been there, done that with this. But
it's the dumbest thing I've ever done.
I was driving along Park last night, and I was going to get a little TCBY for the wife because I'm not a big TCBY fan. Full disclosure. But I see a car completely just left on the road, like with the hazards on, and I pass it, and I go, that's Connor's car. I didn't see Connor on the side of the road or anything, even though he was probably tucked away somewhere. I just didn't see him. But I call Connor, fully expecting for him to be like, no, that's somebody else. I'm at the house. Call Connor, and I go, there's a car that really resembles yours that is completely ditched on Park. And I see ditch cars all the time around the city of Memphis. It's just how it works. We are not a good driving city. Things happen. Cars break down, yada, yada, yada. But I call Connor. He goes, yep, that's my car. I'm right here around the corner. And he was standing right there off Park waiting for someone to bring him gas, waiting for his wife to bring him gas. Can we talk through this, Connor?
We can talk.
You ran out of gas on Park.
It is.
And you were maybe.
Mortified.
You were maybe.
I was a third of a mile away from the gas station. I was a football field away from the gas station. Here's what happened. It's mortifying. It's one of the most embarrassing things that's ever happened to me. My dumb A ran out of gas. It's the dumbest thing that may have ever happened to me.
Well, when I first asked you, what made me laugh is you go, well, it just broke down in the middle of the road. It's either I lost gas. It's either my engine is cooked or I'm out of gas. And I'm like, let's hope you're out of gas.
Yeah, and I was like,
even though that's embarrassing, let's hope you're out of gas.
Okay, here's what happened. So I drive a Nissan Rogue.
Okay.
And with the Nissan Rogue, anybody that has one, for some reason, once you get to 15 miles left in your tank, it just stops telling you how many miles you have. It's basically like a saw, like, I want to play a game. And it's like, you're going to have to guess how much gas you have. So, show ends, I have to run to Target, and I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to have enough to run to Target and make it to the gas station right next to Target. I was like, I'm pretty sure I can do that, because the station's not far away. That's like maybe 2 miles total. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be good. I'm going to make it. I remember when I was driving to Target thinking like, did this car just kick a little bit? And I was like, nah, definitely not. There was construction happening in the parking lot. I just hit a bump. No problem at all. Get to Target, get my stuff. Everything's fine. Pulling out of the Target parking lot, it kicks again. And I remember being like,
oh no,
I must have just hit the gas. There's no way. I'm going to make it. There's no way this is going to happen to me. I start turning off of, I start turning on
off of Colonial onto Park.
And it just stops. Just stops. Thank the Lord. I was able to get it to where I did. So I wasn't in the middle of the intersection. I was in a spot to where I didn't mess up.
You're in the left lane, though.
I was in the left lane. I did not mess up the flow of traffic as bad as I thought I did.
Right.
The funniest part of this whole thing, though, was I knew how embarrassing it was. And I knew what my reaction would have been if I saw an idiot run out of gas and like mess up traffic. I would have been pissed. Like, I am not great on the road. I have a minor case of road rage, I would say. So I was like, okay. My first instinct was to get as far away from the car as possible. I put on the flashers and I went and hid. I cannot face this level of embarrassment. I can't do it. I'm a coward. Had to hide. So when you called me, I was around the corner behind a very tall bush. Car never left my eyesight. Locked it up. Took everything out of it that I needed to. Put the hazards on. People could see it clearly before it got there. It wasn't a hazard for, like, a wreck or anything. So I was like, I think I'm safe just standing off to the corner and just hiding away from this embarrassment. So you call me, and you're like, that's definitely your car, right?
I was
like,
yeah,
that was my car.
It's gotta be.
Kat heroically gets me. Luckily, I did lawn work over the weekend, so I had a full can of gas. Like, I had
a full
can.
Thing. Yeah.
So she was heroically got it to me within, like, 12 minutes because we live not too far away from it. But now I have to face the embarrassment of running out into the middle of the road and filling obviously up. Filling up my car, telling everybody, you definitely ran out of gas. So I fill it up real quick, jump in the car, try to turn it on. It's just shaking. And I'm like, oh, my God. And it's just like, and I'm like, I think my, and there was a moment of relief, though, in that where I was like, maybe I didn't run out of gas. I was like, maybe it wasn't me being stupid.
Well, that's a bad relief, because then you'd have to take it in the shop and deal with it that way.
But it wouldn't have been my fault, Gabe. And that's the entire point. Turns out I didn't put enough in it. Had to jump back out, refill up my tank again, get back in my car, and miraculously it turns on. And I get to the gas station as fast as I possibly can. The funniest thing, one of the funniest moments of this entire thing was you saw me, because I had come out of my hiding place by the time you drove back from TCBY.
Yes, and I saw you, and you
said you weren't an ice cream. You were licking a lollipop or something.
Sure,
all the way.
Sure was.
You were just, hey, what's up, Dad? Just waving at me, like licking on a blue ice cream.
Yeah.
I was mortified. It's one of the most embarrassing moments of my entire life. If you saw an idiot running across park yesterday next to Target.
That was you.
It was me.
Yes.
Good Lord. It was the adrenaline rush that I was having was horrifying. Oh, my God. Mortifying. One of the most embarrassing moments of my entire life.
Yeah, I just knew when I turned, I go, that's a Nissan Rogue.
Yeah.
I think I've seen that plate before. Even though I don't study your plate by any stretch of the imagination, I'm like, that's got
to
be common.
I have a number that is easy to remember, though. Like, if you see it once, you'll probably recognize it. I will say, it was very funny for me, though, because when I was off hiding, because I couldn't face the embarrassment and the anger from other drivers, I would see people honking and, like, do you know how there's that Sebastian Maniscalco joke where, like, you have to see the idiot to, like,
You have to pull up and see the guy. Yeah.
I kept seeing people go around me and kind of stop to like yell at me and to like, and then they would just notice that nobody was there and the confusion that would hit their faces. They were like, wait a second. Where's the person?
Because to be honest with you,
like,
when I pulled past it, I fully expected to see your face in the car still.
No.
And then I'm like, his car is ditched.
The first thing I did was get as far away from that car as I possibly could. And when I told my friends about it, they were like, so you just left the car? And I left the car.
Yes.
I couldn't.
You had to peek around the corner to make sure it was still there, though.
Somebody was like, this is like a sitcom moment. And I was like, no, definitely, 100%. I was just in a bush hiding, talking to Gabe on the phone and begging my wife to bring me gas.
You were in a better situation. The one time I ran out of gas, I was on the way back from St. Louis to Memphis, and I was about 25 miles away from the nearest gas station. And what happened there is I just... Very scary moment in a way. Had to hop into a car with somebody else, go grab a gas can. They had to turn around, bring me all the way back to the car. I trusted them, and it was a good thing I did trust them.
Well, it also helps that you're a mammoth human being.
I turned around and just guns all in the back seat of their car, and they're like, "Oh, I'm former military," and I'm like, "Okay, I feel a lot more safe now." Yeah, help me out at least a tad bit. Yeah, but they were nice. They drove a good good 50 miles worth of. Worth of road, open road for me to go fill up my car.
I'm not sure if you remember the all-time classic Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Of course.
Amazing Christmas movie. He runs out of gas in that movie. So for my entire life, I have had a fear of being the guy that runs out of gas. And I just played with, I got too close to the sun. I played with fire.
Now, just make sure before you'll have like a gallon left in your tank, make sure you fill it up. It's bad to let it get that low.
Well, that's the thing, though.
You're screwing up your engine.
It doesn't tell you. The Rogue, after like, once you get down to about, which I should probably be filling it up far before then, but I don't have to drive that much during the week because the station's so close to my home and things like that. Grocery store's not far away. So it's usually the weekends where I fill up. Because that's when I'm going to have to be driving, or when I go host trivia somewhere. And I was just like, I'm pretty sure I have like 10 miles. Nope.
Yep.
Did not have that.
Yeah. Well, at least you got it filled up, and now you've learned your lesson.
The dumbest thing I've ever
done. I don't think you'll ever let it happen again.
I've never come close since my scare. Getting close to 15 miles again. I will be filling that thing up.
Religiously.
Religiously.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It was mortifying, Gabe.
Yeah. Like, I hear you.
I don't know if I've ever been that color red in my entire life.
when I pulled up to coming back with the TCBY, Connor, like, he was behind a shed. And he stepped out because he saw my car just to wave at me. Stepped right behind the shed because he didn't want anyone to see him. But all right, now that that's over.
I was in somebody's garage when that happened. Yeah, somebody's garage door was open and I just slid in.
Getting into the shadows so no one saw you. Now, while all that was happening, Paul Feinbaum was speaking at the Memphis Touchdown Club. So there was that. While Connor was out of gas and he ditched his Nissan Rogue on park and just pissed off every other driver, Paul Feinbaum was talking college athletics at the Memphis Touchdown Club. Now, he started with, and we talked about this in small talk yesterday, But he mentioned that Memphis, and he's been talking about this for a while, big advocate for Memphis from the city, went to White Station and Christian Brothers. He always advocates for the University of Memphis getting into a bigger conference. And he said that he believes the ACC and the Big 12 made mistakes taking SMU and other former AAC schools over Memphis. Now, I think Houston and UCF and Cincinnati, fine, going to the Big 12. If you take them over Memphis, hey, it is what it is. We always have said SMU, with the fan base they have, how low they are on the totem pole in the city of Dallas, doesn't make a whole lot of sense why they get into the ACC, but they did pay their way to get into the ACC, where I don't think the University of Memphis has that capability with the money they have available to them in the for the school and the athletic department. But he said that it's a mistake. Now, when we look forward to what could potentially happen if the Super League breaks off and you're trying to make that party, I think it's way more likely at this point that the Big 12 is set. The Big 12 has put themselves firmly right there under the SEC and the Big Ten as the third best power conference. Now, the ACC, let's tell the truth here. They're going to be looking for some schools. They're going to be looking to stay alive here relatively soon. And who do they add? Who are they going to be looking at? Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, all these schools seem to be mad with the revenue-sharing model they have in the ACC. And they're kind of up in arms right now. They have that grant of rights through 2036. But I think it's more than likely that they're going to be sort of broken up here in the next, you know, 5 or so years. And with that, maybe there's an angle in for Memphis as long as the ACC can stay alive. That's the only thing you can really look at for Memphis at this particular moment, right? Because it feels like the Big 12 is on solid footing, as solid a footing as they can be on in the current structure of things.
Totally agree. And that's why, you know, the FedEx NIL deal, I think, is such a big deal for the University of Memphis, because it shows that Memphis is ready to make that jump. Even though it may not be the Big 12 because they are set, they are still in a prime position to make a jump into a league. I do want to ask you, though, do you have any sort of worry that Memphis could jump into the ACC and then it just falls apart?
Yeah. That's how the Big East went.
Well, I was literally about to say, it's happened to Memphis before.
But here's the thing, when you run out of choices, you have to, yeah. You don't want to be in the AAC, you have to do what's out there in front of you. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing I can see being out in front of a school like the University of Memphis or the Boise States of the world, these teams at the top of the group of five. You're going to have to find a landing spot and try to put yourself in the best position as possible. So the ACC seems like the only real option for schools like that, even though it may implode and you may end up in a similar situation like you were in the AAC, where you're strong at the beginning and schools continue to get stolen off to the powers that be in the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12. But, I mean, I think if that's out there for you, you sort of have to go with it, right?
It's a worry, but you don't want to get left behind.
You don't want to get left behind, so you have to make every move possible to try not to get left behind.
And at least from that position, you could be like, we were in one.
Yeah, we've tried on multiple occasions to get into one, and it just doesn't really work out on the back end. But that's the only thing I can really see at this current moment. Now, we'll see what happens if, you know, the ACC breaks up and the Big 12 feels like they need to add more schools. Maybe, you know, they'd probably take some from the ACC, but maybe Memphis could angle their way in there, which would be best case scenario. But with the ACC sort of in no man's land right now and going into the next 5 years, seems like the best angle for them. Also, he went on, Paul Feinbaum, to say that on the Memphis football front a couple years ago, after that second 6-6 year, he was very critical of Ryan Silverfield, saying, you know, he did not do anything to lift up the viability of that football program after Mike Norvell left, and that he has completely hurt it. And he went after his recruiting and how he's running the thing and letting guys get in the transfer portal and go off to different places. Taj Washington was sort of at the top of that list at that moment. But after this 10-3 season, fourth 10-3 season or 10-win season in the history of Memphis football, he went out of his way not just to say, like, I'm going to watch this year and see how wrong I was. He went out of his way right this second to say he has been wrong about Ryan Silverfield. What he said a couple years back is wrong. And to be honest with you, I find that a little bit interesting for him to go out of his way to say he's completely wrong, because I think that there still is that thought process from everybody in this city and everybody in the AAC and just looking around the country at the rest of the group of five. People still want to see what Memphis is going to do this year. I still think that there is the outside, there is the possibility that this season does not go as well as you originally planned. And I think when you look at what they need to accomplish for Paul Feinbaum to be completely wrong about what he said a couple of years ago, they need to be into the conference championship this year. Or I think that you have wasted a golden opportunity to really put yourself into rarefied air, to be that group of five participant in the first playoff, 12-team playoff. You have missed an opportunity. So I thought it was interesting that he went out of his way to say he's wrong. I know that there's a lot of people, you know, at this station that said similar things a couple of years ago. They're not going out of their way to say that they were wrong about the Ryan Silverfield experience. But Paul Feinbaum seems like he's pretty confident about what Memphis can accomplish going into next year.
I think last season, for me at least, it showed me that Ryan Silverfield has the ability to be the football coach of this program moving forward. He has the ability. It gave me some belief in it.
Yeah.
He's got to prove it now, though. Now, this season is like, okay, the expectations are there. You've got the team. You've got the NIL money. There is no excuses, in my opinion, for why you shouldn't win 10 games and why you shouldn't be in that conference
championship. The momentum is just so massive.
It's so
right
behind
now.
There is a train behind you of momentum, and you have to step up to the plate and hit a home run this season. If you don't, I think conversations will once again begin about Ryan Silverfield and the future of this Memphis Tigers program. Now, that being said, I expect the season to go very well because
sure.
of all the things that we just mentioned. But for it to be him to have a, you know, completely 180 on his opinion, it sounds great, and I appreciate
right,
it, but I think it's a year too early.
Yeah, the 180 on the opinion is interesting because outside of the bowl game against Iowa State, they won every game they were supposed to win, and they lost every game they were supposed to lose. Every game that they were not favored in, they lost. Every game that they were favored in, they won. That's what it was last year. It was 10 wins, but it was the culmination of a really bad American Athletic Conference product in year one, trying to bring in a bunch of new schools. That's why.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, they got to 10 wins ultimately. And then the win over Iowa State really capped it off and has us thinking huge going into next year.
The Iowa State.
But that's what last year was. I still don't think we should fool ourselves into thinking that last year was anything other than win what you're supposed to win, lose what you're supposed to lose. That's what happened.
Last year was a success. It wasn't a grand success. And I do think that the Iowa State bowl win it was able to, you ended the season on a high note, and that's great. Like, last season, you know, the University of Memphis winning 10 games has only happened 4 times before in program history. That is a huge accomplishment. That being said, with the way the conference is going to be set up this season, the talent pool that it is, how much talent you have and how much continuity you have, you should be able to roll through this conference, no problem.
But here's the good news about, like, if this is a copy and paste of last year, win what you're supposed to win, lose what you're supposed to lose.
You win.
11-1 is probably on the table for a regular season. 10-2 at the very least.
Yes.
So if and likely into the conference championship game, if that is the case. So that would be sort of baseline going into next year. If you win what you're supposed to win, lose what you're supposed to lose, you're going to be where you want to be. And I think that there was the original conversation heading into next year. There were some people trying to do the playoff or bust thing. I don't think that's the case. What I think it is conference championship appearance or bust.
Agreed. Totally agree. I think that they have a real shot to make it into the college football playoff because of how the format is going to be. I have no illusions about them making a run within the college football playoff, but I think that they definitely have a shot to be in it. That ultimately, though, I would just like to walk away from next year with 10 wins and a conference championship.
Because look at...
And a good bowl game.
Look at how SMU finished last year, right? They won the conference at 11-2, right? They won to get over top to 11-2. They weren't the group of five participant in the New Year's Six because Liberty was undefeated, even though they didn't play as hard of a schedule as SMU. But because they had the two losses, SMU, they put in a team who had zero losses. And if that is how that worked out, and there is a team in the group of five who's undefeated and wins their conference and gets the nod into the playoff, while Memphis is sitting there having won the conference with two losses, that's still a grand success, in my opinion.
Focus on the things that you can control. And what you can control is making sure you win 10 games, 10-plus games, maybe 11, and winning a conference championship. You can control those. You can control your own destiny with those games. Once it gets to the college football playoff, you need somebody to put you in. Some politics come into play. You can control getting to the conference championship and winning that game. And that is, I think, a fair expectation to have. And that expectation does show, though, that there is belief in Ryan Silverfield.
Of course, and there's belief in this conference sort of devolving from what it once was.
Yes,
Cincinnati it also helps and UCF and SMU.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt that some teams, you know, took a fall.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt that one of your best games on your schedule is going to be Tulane team, or the hardest games on your schedule may be against a Tulane team that doesn't have their quarterback, that has a new coach, right? Like that helps. That helps.
Certainly.
Now, also... He did. He commented because I guess the conversation came up with Penny Hardaway's TV show about Arkansas versus Memphis in basketball. He said the series needs to be played. He said Cal needs to buck up and find a way to make it happen. And he said, quote, this was quote, the whole country wants it, end quote. Now, I don't know if the whole country wants it. I think the southeastern region may want that. And certainly here in the state of Tennessee, on the west side of the state, and then in Arkansas, they want to see this game played. But I don't think things like this are going to strong-arm Cal into making that decision. Cal is going to make a decision for himself. And I think ultimately what it needs to come down to is John Tyson, who ultimately helped facilitate him getting the job and all the money that went behind getting him the job. It has to be big boosters from both schools really stepping up, getting in both coaches' ear and saying, hey, regardless of how we need to make this happen, this needs to happen.
I really hope it does. I do hope it happens. I am under the opinion that it has been 15 years now. Cal is no longer at Kentucky. I think it is time for him to come back to Memphis, play the Tigers. It would be huge. It would be a national television game. It'd be a big deal for the players. It'd be a big deal for the city. I would like to see it happen. If you want to go to that, if y'all want to go to those games and boo Cal, be my guest. But sure. I just think it is time for, in my opinion, for Cal to kind of stop avoiding the University of Memphis. Like, it is part of it. It is what happens. You are now at the University of Arkansas, which has a history with the University of Memphis, a long history. Let the game happen. Everybody wants it. Let it happen.
Now, Ole Miss, I think he's really high on Ole Miss. Do you see these quotes?
Oh, Paul Feinbaum, yes.
I absolutely expect Ole Miss to be in the playoffs. I think this is the best Ole Miss team maybe since the 60s and Johnny Vaught. I mean, I think we're going back in time to find anything that comes close to this. I think Ole Miss is a legitimate national championship team. I mean, I think the playoffs to me, absolutely, and after that it's a wild card, but I mean, they have an incredible team there. I don't disagree with his sentiment on playoffs. I think that, you know, Ole Miss has as good a shot of anybody in the new, even with the SEC, with Texas and Oklahoma. I think they have as good a shot of anybody at making the playoff, especially a 12-team playoff. It's a different type of age. You still have Jackson Dart. Caden Priestcorn ended the season really well. Trey Harris is still there. You still have Ulysses Bentley on the offensive side. You've done a lot of things in the portal on the defensive side to really get a whole lot better. Don't forget, Walter Nolan transferred from A&M to Ole Miss. Princely, I don't even know how to say his last name, but one of the best edge rushers in the SEC last year came from Florida to go to Ole Miss. They've strengthened that defense. I agree with his sentiment. Now, national championship contender is a whole different thing. I don't believe in Ole Miss to win a national championship, because when you look at the teams that ultimately you'd have to get over in Ohio State, who took your starting running back last year in Quinshon Judkins, when you look at Georgia and what they are every year and what they mean every year to the SEC, we'll see what Alabama is. We'll see what Texas is. Texas was a team who last year you definitely have to pay attention to. They have a lot of carryovers, and Steve Sarkisian's done a good job. I just think when you sort of have those three or four teams in the mix, Ole Miss is on the outside looking in. I get that he said it'll be a wild card, and I respect what Ole Miss has done this offseason to strengthen both sides of the football. But national championship, I think, is a really, really lofty expectation, and I don't really see that happening this year.
I think that Ole Miss might be in that second tier of teams that could win it this upcoming season. To me, it feels like it's going to be Georgia and Ohio State to lose, and then everybody else.
Yeah, will be an interesting
Texas
one.
Texas is somewhere
pay attention
in the,
to Texas.
They might. Right now, I'm kind of keeping them in between Tier 1 and Tier 2.
Yes.
It's like there's just Texas got to just prove it. And
yes,
I understand, because Texas is back every year. It's just show it to me first.
I thought they were legitimately back last year. Give them that.
They were legitimately back. They had moments of being fully back. It's just, you know, you just have that little doubt in the back of your head. But I would say, it's Ohio State, Georgia, then probably Texas, and then Ole Miss and a few others right next.
Yeah, but
They'll be in the playoff.
No, I think they'll be a playoff team.
Yeah.
I don't have many doubts about
that. It might be
that.
Their best team since the 60s.
And I agree with most of what he said, but when we're talking national championship, that is just – I think there are other teams that have done better on the portal. There are other teams with just the same amount of continuity. It's just hard to get it done at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But I think Lane, without question, has done a phenomenal job, one of the best jobs we've seen from any coach since Johnny Vaught at Ole Miss. And I think Ole Miss fans want to keep him for long term, but we'll see
100%.
How that all plays out.
Yeah.
We'll see how that all plays out. Now, off the Paul Feinbaum conversation, there's a lot going on right now with the NCAA and their antitrust lawsuits. And it looks like they're both near settlement. Two big ones are near settlement. But there's two cases that are forcing the NCAA's hand on revenue sharing. And it looks like a lot of the powers that be in the Big Ten and the SEC, and the one we've paid attention to the most is A&M and Trev Albert, since he's went from Nebraska to A&M, seems like they're getting ready for it. And that number is looking like up to $20 million in revenue sharing for their athletics programs. But there's two cases that you need to pay attention to right now, House versus NCAA. And House versus NCAA is basically the problem here is, the House is saying you can't limit earning power of student athletes. Duh, right? The estimation of payout, though, if they don't have a settlement from the schools and the NCAA in this case, the estimation of payout is $4 billion right now. For current and former athletes, because current and former athletes are involved on the House side of this. Then there's also Carter versus NCAA, which is the problem there is the schools should be able to pay players for their performance. Now, that one could be pushed to the side and settled easily if the first case, House versus NCAA, comes to the correct revenue sharing conclusion. Because ultimately, if you start revenue sharing, guys can get paid for their performance. Therefore, Carter and NCAA would be settled upon the conclusion of that case. But again, that number that's being discussed on the revenue sharing front is up to $20 million. And we know that there's some schools that are very easily going to be able to, pony up that money. The Georgias, the Ohio States, the A&Ms of the world, they can get up to that number. A lot of other schools are going to probably be somewhere between the $7.5 million to $15 million range trying to catch up to that $20 million. But it looks like it's really the wheels are turning very fast, because the NCAA and these schools are probably going to have to settle unless they want to pay out that $4 billion and watch the courts decide for them. The courts are not pro NCAA. We've seen that here as of late. And if they let this get to a decision, it could be the complete death of them and you know, continue us down that road of destruction of the NCAA, complete destruction of the NCAA.
Would you like the 20 mil kind of salary cap situation that they would have?
I think it's fine. I think it makes sense.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just what becomes tough is how many schools really are going to be able to pony up that amount of money every single year in the revenue sharing business.
How many teams can compete with the Yankees in baseball spending? That's where it's...
You could probably get 10 to 15 schools a year who can really afford to pony up that money.
Right.
The rest of them are just going to be trying to chase the entire time.
It's one of those situations where we say it a lot on the show, don't let perfect get in the way of good.
Right.
This seems pretty good. And because right now, it is the wild, wild west. It really is. And there needs to be some sort of structure. There's got to be. Because I understand that you can't, what is it you can't prevent? You can't prevent earning by college?
Earning power, but from student-athletes?
There needs to be a, okay, let's relax. Like, to a certain extent, that needs to be. Like, I understand that you don't want to, you know, you don't want to limit people's earning power, but in professional sports, you kind of, there's a cap to it. Like, you can make this amount of
not
money.
Not with endorsements, though. Not with endorsements.
Well, I'm talking
Patrick
about, like,
Patrick Mahomes can
schools.
Continue to take endorsement after endorsement, but this is student athletes
sure,
we're talking
that's,
about.
Sure, there needs to be some sort of structure.
For example, if Jackson Dart is a Heisman front runner next year, he should be able to make whatever the hell is out there for him. You should not be limiting anything that comes his way, endorsement-wise or otherwise. He should be able to make as much possible money as he can while he still has the opportunity.
There just needs to be some sort of, you have to make sure that you avoid using it fully as recruiting. Like, I'm not sure I am 100% comfortable with, like, we have this business so they can cut you a check, so leave that school and come here. Like, there needs to be some sort of commitment, in my opinion, from the player's
what
side.
If I'm hearing you fully, it's about the transfer portal and
yes,
how that's used.
Yeah, it's just,
and we
it's
talked
too
to Paul.
Crazy.
We talked to Paul Feinbaum again on Friday before he spoke to the Memphis Touchdown Club, and I asked him what's the biggest thing ailing college sports and really college football as a whole, and he said it's the transfer portal. And I wonder if revenue sharing, you know, getting to an employer-employee relationship, that is the only thing to solve it.
Right.
But if I'm hearing you correctly, it's about recruiting inducement and collusion in the transfer portal, that type of thing. You know, trying to prevent what happened with
Missouri.
Well, Missouri, that's an interesting one with the NIL.
Yeah.
You can use it in high school as long as you sign with an in-state institution. But Caden Proctor, trying to limit things
Yes.
Where he was at Alabama, Nick Saban leaves, he goes to Iowa, and I think the you know, estimation on earning power he would have had if he would have stayed at Iowa for a couple years was like $5 million. And what they estimated that he actually got while he was on campus for 57 days at Iowa was right around $1 million. Gets back in the transfer portal with that $1 million in his pocket, goes right back to Alabama. Having that type of thing limited, I think, is where we need to – that's what you're talking
about. That's what I'm talking about. Like, there just needs to be a commitment. Like, hey – if you want an NIL, you can come to the school. You're going to get an NIL. We're not going to
stop
your earning power,
but that's
where it
comes
for 2
from.
Years.
If we're sharing this revenue with you, we have to have it in a contract
yes.
where we have to have an understanding that if I'm sharing this money with you, if I'm giving you this money contractually, you can't just up and leave after 50 days, never participate in a practice, never participate in a game, and expect to get that
right.
money.
Because, like, at the next level, you don't have a cap on your earning power. You can go do endorsements all you want, but you're signed to a team for X amount
yes.
of years. Like,
yes.
you're committed to an organization for a certain
I
amount of years.
I agree with you on that front,
right.
but these are kind of separate at the moment, and they could all you know, come together.
It's hopefully a step in the right direction,
yes.
though.
Yes, but we're all over the place right
thumbs
now.
Thumbs up
agree
for
with
the 20 mil if that's what it's going to be.
Yes.
I'm okay with that.
I agree with you, though, wholeheartedly. The biggest thing ailing college athletics is how open and free the transfer portal is. And I say that as a guy who, if I was in college and had the ability to go get money at X school over 57 days, I probably would have taken that opportunity. But we have swung so far to the player empowerment where guys are really getting over on these institutions, where
right.
you need to bring it back to the middle at least a tad bit.
Yes.
You need to try to bridge that gap to a certain extent. And we're just not there yet. We're not there yet. And I think it'll still take some time. But these are steps in the right direction.
I do think there's something to some of the specialness of college athletics is that you can get attached to these guys, and they represent the university that you
You're
may have gone.
You're seeing less and less of that,
There's a personal connection
though,
with that, and it's just like, it feels like that is starting to disappear a bit, and I don't like that.
I mean,
it sucks.
We've talked about this on multiple occasions, Connor. How many times going into the future are you going to see a four-year quarterback like Seth Hennigan at Memphis?
Right. It feels special. You're like, oh, my God, I can't believe
that's
he's been
special,
here for four
but
years.
That's so few and far in between in this day and age. That is one of that needs to be fixed. That needs to be fixed. That needs to you need to find a way to go ahead and make that a little different, because these guys can go ahead and transfer no penalty, nothing.
There's got to be a solution where the players still have earning power and they are allowed to make money off of their name, image, and likeness, but you also have to have a commitment to the university or school that you're going to. That has to be an option.
Yeah, but the institution can't be at the complete mercy of every single athlete that they try to recruit.
Yeah.
Like there seems to be a massive problem with that at this current moment.
It just, because right now it seems like, oh, I'm not happy, I'm leaving. And it's like, that can't be a threat. Like, it feels, to me, it feels like players are threatening it.
And they can still take the money that they earned at said place, right?
Yeah, maybe it's, hey, if you want to leave, you got to give back the money.
Yes, there needs to be a contractual agreement. If I'm going to be here.
Took $1 million and was like, peace.
Yeah, but that's the thing. If there needs to be a contractual agreement, if you are going to come here, take advantage of our NIL, and you're going to be sharing this revenue with us, I have to have something on the front end to tell me you're going to be here and play games for us.
Yeah.
I don't think that's too much to ask. We do that at the professional level.
We get paid to do a radio show every single day. We couldn't just disappear.
Yes, and still make the same money. Exactly. I think that's how it should work in just about every market, and definitely in sports, college athletics, and more pro athletics. That's where we're headed with
I will say athletics. This does show, though, one of your larger points is just the NCAA has no teeth anymore.
Yeah. They're just going to have to settle these cases and move on with their life.
$4 billion?
$4 billion's ridiculous.
No, thank you.
Yeah. But I did see that, you know, these former athletes, there's some former athletes that want back pay. I wonder if I would be involved in that leading up to 2021. I wonder if I could sort of go hire a lawyer to see what my NIL valuation would have been, see if I can get some out of that settlement. What do you think, Connor?
Maybe.
It would be a small amount.
A small amount of $4 billion. I'll take those chances.
Yes, I hear you.
I'll take those chances.
I hear you. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note, and we'll go ahead and come back and talk about the NBA playoffs. Last night we had two games where teams took an early exit. The Pelicans, not surprising at all. And really the Lakers aren't surprising, but there's a lot of discussion that needs to be had about the Lakers. LeBron's going into a year where he has a player option. Is he going to opt out and try to re-up with them? Is he going to find somewhere else? Where does Bronny James, where does his son fit into this whole thing? We'll talk about that next. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now, while the NBA playoffs have tipped off, it's not too late to get on the action with FanDuel. So make sure you get over to FanDuel. Right now, new customers are getting $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. So take that long favorite and laugh to the bank. But that's $150 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures. So much more is available to you at FanDuel. There's no better place to bet all playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K to get in on the action. FanDuel is an official sports betting partner of the NBA and 92.9 ESPN. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. And if you have a gambling problem, call Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Now let's review these games last night. We'll start with the Celtics versus the Heat. The Celtics are rolling. I look back at what Kevin O'Connor said and from the Ringer, and I think he does a good job most of the time, but he basically said that he doesn't think the Celtics would stand a chance in a 7-game series against the Nuggets. Again, I would probably pick the Nuggets to win that series, but the Celtics would definitely win some games, but the Celtics are rolling against the Heat. Now, I understand Terry Rozier's out.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jimmy Butler's out, but 102-88. Derek White stepped up last night. Like, their fourth option, maybe fifth option on some nights. 38-4-3, 8-15 from three. Now, the big story from that game, though, is Kristaps Porzingis. He's going to be out for an extended period of time, it looks like. And you don't know when he's going to be able to return. And I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's in the water with these NBA players. But it's a soleus strain.
Yep.
It's a soleus strain.
Same thing Giannis has.
And we were terrified last night watching it. It looked like his right. It's his right.
It's his right one, calf. Yes.
It really looked like he had an Achilles injury because he just came up lame, came up a little gimpy and a little unfortunate. But I still think the Celtics will be fine without him. They're just going to – Al Horford's going to have to play a pretty massive role for that team until he gets back, until Kristaps Porzingis gets back. Now, moving right along, Thunder versus Pelicans. Thank God the Pelicans are out, so I don't have to watch them anymore.
Dreadful.
But an easy sweep, wasn't even close. And honestly, I thought the Pelicans kind of did the Thunder a disservice. The Thunder are getting their first crack at this thing as a protected seed, and the Pelicans showed them no resistance. Maybe game one, 94-92, but the back three games of this series, it just wasn't close. The Pelicans had no chance without Zion Williamson, and they're going to have to really buckle down and have some very honest, open conversations about where they're headed this offseason. Now that they're probably headed to Cancun or Galveston, like our man Charles Barkley said in that dirty ass water. They really need to figure out what they want to do.
Yeah.
I think Zion is clearly their piece of the future, but who do you want to surround him with? Do you need a true point guard instead of CJ McCollum?
Yes.
Move CJ McCollum over to the two. Brandon Ingram, does he really have a spot with you anymore? Does it make any sense to have Zion and him on the floor at the same time when they work out of the same sort of spots on the floor? You have to have real conversations, and you have some young guys that can make some things happen for you. Jose Alvarado's a decent player. Trey Murphy could probably be one of your top three leading scorers if you give him that ability. Herb Jones is a guy you need to have on a championship caliber team, but some of these guys you have, these support players, uncomfortable conversations need to happen.
I think the answer is you trade Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
It's the one that makes the most sense.
But how much trade value does he have, and who can you get in return? What type of assets can you actually get in return?
I don't know. Because the one thing is you're
paying him a lot of money, and there's this downswing this past year. Even it started with Team USA.
Yes.
This offseason.
Oh, we've been waving the flag of Brandon Ingram might not be good, like great anymore for a while.
Yes, this downswing this year was huge, and I wonder what type of teams are really in the market for a guy like Brandon Ingram. You don't want him to be your leading scorer because you're going to be a 41-41 team, maybe less than that. You're not going to be a serious playoff team.
2-14 last night.
What type of assets can you get in return for a guy like that? I can't imagine a lot.
He also
just
doesn't play a lick of defense.
Yeah, it's we'll see. But they need to have some real. They need to have a come to Jesus moment this offseason.
I wonder if it's you find him a spot on a team that's not trying to win that. We'll give you maybe a team out there like Utah has Lauri Markkanen, even though that doesn't make sense with Zion. Yes. I don't know. They're in a tough spot because the guys that they can move don't have a ton of trade
value. You need
value.
To find a team that's unserious in the East or something. The Nets or the Bulls who are just fine with being 500 teams.
The stupid
that's what
Nets.
That's all I can really see who would be an even realistic taker.
Well, the good news for the
Pelicans. Because you don't want Brandon Ingram on a contending team. The only way you would want him on a contending team is if he took a back seat and was like a bench scorer. But is he even going to be that good at that going forward? You have to ask yourself that question, especially for the type of money you'd have to sign him to.
Right. The Pelicans aren't that far away. Like, they won 49 games this year. They're a good basketball team, and Zion's one of the best players in the NBA. He finally showed us a season of what Zion could possibly be, and it was awesome. It really sucks that he got hurt in the play-in and wasn't able to play the first-round series. But I do think that they would have at least struck a little fear into the Thunder if Zion was on the court, but Thunder would have been able to beat him anyway. It's just, I just think that Brandon Ingram is holding that basketball team back because he doesn't fit with anybody else. Herb Jones, it should be your starting small forward. Should be the guy.
Brandon Ingram has one more year at $36 million before he's an unrestricted free agent. You have to ask yourself, are we going to try to do everything we can to trade him for crumbs, or are we going to live one more year with him and then let him walk?
Here's the team. The Wizards.
Unserious team in the East. There we go.
With
that
real
fits
players.
Alongside.
You tell me you give up Brandon Ingram and you get back a guy like Denny Avdija and he's not going to help this basketball team?
But I understand the Wizards have not.
Maybe Tyus Jones?
I know the Wizards. Maybe. That would be an interesting.
Tyus and
nice.
Denny for Brandon
now,
Ingram
I'll
and
say this.
Some assets?
I'll say this. The Wizards are historically not a very smart front office.
Very well dumb basketball run, team.
Very well
How
run
much money
franchise.
Did they give Jordan Poole?
Not a very well run franchise. But I still think that would just like that would send Wizards fans over the edge. Why are we doing this nonsense?
Because you're trying to bottom out. You know how you sell it. We're tanking for Cooper Flag. That's how you sell it.
I guess, but damn.
You know, they just seem like a candidate to do something dumb. So
yes.
Might as well call them.
Listen, all the three teams, bottom dwellers in the East that I just brought up, are all candidates to do something stupid.
I wonder how many teams have called the
Wizards. But how ridiculous is it that we're talking about this where the Pelicans need someone, a trade partner that's going to be dumb on the other side.
To take Brandon Ingram?
Yes, yeah. They need someone to be stupid.
But how many teams do you think have called the Wizards and offered them a deal that was ridiculous, and then the Wizards are like, yes, and they're like, really? Like,
yeah,
do you think that the Wizards have ever gotten a really response to them saying yes to a trade? Probably so.
Now, Lakers Nuggets 108-106, Jamal Murray in the fourth quarters. Again, I don't care what he does through the first three quarters. I have zero care. But he was hurt going into the game. He gave it a go. Was not that great for the first three quarters of that game. Fourth quarter, he has their last two buckets. He gets them over top with a shot at the elbow to get 108-106 with 3.6 seconds to go. Lakers couldn't respond from there. And what's funny about that play is if you just go back and watch it, Taurean Prince is begging Rui Hachimura. He's going, Nikola Jokic is going to set a high screen. Jamal Murray is going to get to the elbow and put up a warm-up jumper. Step your ass up and get a hand in his face. And Rui stood there like he had no idea what basketball was.
It's like he wandered onto the court.
He had no idea how to play the game of basketball on the defensive end. That was embarrassing from Rui Hachimura.
Taurean Prince was screaming
at him. Taurean Prince literally gave him the answers to the test before they came, and he still couldn't. He still couldn't get it right.
Can we talk about Darvin Ham now?
Yeah.
During the Nuggets run, I'm not going to call timeout. It's what I said yesterday. He's a cardboard cutout.
Can we not even
be there.
Can we have fun? I saw one tweet out there that just made you brought it to me. Just, I couldn't stop
that. Oh, that he's scared to call timeout?
He's scared to call timeout because he doesn't know what to say in the huddles.
It's not a bad
theory. I don't know. I've heard him speak in huddles. It's not that far out of the realm of possibility, but no. But he really is a cardboard cutout of a coach. He the reactions to things that are happening on the floor aren't there. He doesn't have them really set up on the offensive end. Anthony Davis has said that multiple times. And then just generally speaking, when it comes to trying to end runs and get to a timeout, when crunch time hits, he has no idea. His foot is off the gas. He's looking somewhere else. It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. I think the Lakers have more problems than Darvin Ham. However,
sure.
You got to start there.
But he's going to get fired.
Has to.
They're going to do a little, from what Adrian Wojnarowski said, they're going to do a little post-mortem deal, and they're going to decide, you know, what they're going to do with Darvin Ham. I don't see
Spoiler alert, they're going to fire him.
I don't see how there's any other option besides firing him at this point and finding somebody else to do the job. And did you see his quote? Is this a real quote, by the way, that he made basically about D'Angelo Russell without saying his name? This is from Bleacher Report, from Dave McMiniman. If you're coaching a team and one of your starters is like 10 games in a row just essing the bed, what are you going to do? Is basically what he said.
D'Lo had one bad game. D'Lo had a terrible game, and he quit on the team.
But we see this all the time. We see all the time with coaches. There's going to be some deflecting of blame, especially
was that Doc Rivers?
Especially when they know that they're going to get fired and canned. Now, what happens with LeBron's future? This is the real question. He has a player option this year that he could pick up. He'll likely deny it so he can get more money from whoever. But it looks more or less like he's going to stay with the Lakers for a massive supermax extension. Now, Shams and Sam Amick and Jovan Buha of The Athletic had written up something about team sources say the Lakers are very open to the prospect of helping LeBron fulfill his dream of playing with his son, Bronny James, by potentially drafting him in June. I think that would be a disservice, stupid nepotism play on Bron's part because Bronny's not ready. But that sort of, to me, based on what I've heard, LeBron, without Bronny, will probably come back to the Lakers. But that sort of felt like, to me, being reported by The Athletic, that is the last-ditch effort of the Lakers. If by some...
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.